Hallelujah. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What a great God we serve. Amen. I'm glad I know the truth. Amen. The truth will set you free today. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Turn to Proverbs 11. Praise God. Verse 16. Be reading out of the NIV. But follow along, whatever you have. Praise God. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men... Sorry, go back here one second. Ruthless men gain only wealth. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin to themselves. Praise God. We're going to talk about kindness today. How many of you love it when somebody's kind to you? Amen. Nobody likes to be around ruthless people or someone that's nagging and always ging-ging-ging-ging-ging-ging-ging. But you like it when they're kind and loving and speak to you nicely and respectfully. And amen. We're going to talk about that today. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for your word. Bless your people. Help us, Lord, to have great input today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Kindness. Kind-hearted is an adjective. It's having much kindness of nature, characterized by kindness of heart. Then there's the root word kind is an adjective as well. It's natural, harmonious, disposed to do good to others and to make them happy, having tenderness or goodness of nature, benevolent, friendly, proceeding from a dedicated or dictated by tenderness and goodness of heart. And then kindness is the state of or quality of being kind. Goodwill, benevolence, a kind act or an act of goodwill. And then there's the word ruthless. It's an adjective as well, and it's simply pitiless. No pity. Pitiless. And then there's the word cruel. It's an adjective, and it is deliberately seeking to inflict pain and suffering, enjoying others' suffering without mercy or pity. So we want to look at first, a kind-hearted woman. Amen. All of us men could probably say, amen, we love kind-hearted women. Or woman. I love a kind-hearted woman. We all should like to have women that are kind-hearted. Clarify that. So, it is hard when people are not kind to minister to just do anything with if they have just roughness and don't care about anybody's feelings and just think of themselves all the time. But they are kind. They're kind-hearted. Abigail is an example of kind-heartedness. 1 Samuel 25:3. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and she was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean, surly and mean. In his dealings, he was a Calebite. So the word intelligent was translated from a word that denotes discretion. She had, there was knowledge, the policy, prudence, sense, understanding and wisdom, and she and talks about wise, being wise. And this certainly doesn't sound like she was a feeble, defenseless individual. She was someone that had her act together and was obviously a person that cared for others. She was kind. She had kindness in her spirit. She appears to be one of those individuals who displayed strength and character in her face. When you looked at Abigail, you saw that this woman had character. This woman, it just projected. You ever been around someone that you couldn't help but like them? It was just dripping off of them. They would make, it brings me to mind of Sister Sjostrand. If you sat 2 minutes with Sister Sjostrand, you would want to fight the world because of what exudes out of that woman's character. She will set you on fire. She is so kind. She's one of those people that would, if you were the shyest person on earth, she'd have you talking and laughing and just having a great conversation. You know, that's the type of personality that kindness brings. And that's probably describes Abigail. She was that type of person, had great character. Decisive. It's not only what she was, it was not only was she intelligent, but also she was decisive. She was able to make decisions. She was able to, you know, had her act together. Nothing was out of place. She was probably a good organizer and was able to just, her life was regiment. Very intelligent woman and overcome with kindness. When she learned that her husband had snubbed David, she knew there was going to be trouble and it was not going to be fun if something didn't happen. So she acted very decisively. 1 Samuel 25:18. Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seis, and roasted grain, and 100 cakes of raisin, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on a donkey. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, and I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Then she told her servants, I'm done there. She didn't tell nobody. She just took this upon herself. She was going to fix Nabal's faux-pas with the king. And that what she did was a lot of work. Took a lot of effort. She knew she had to smooth this over to get this man back, you know, not on the bad side of her husband. And when is it appropriate not to submit to authority? Anybody? Huh? Never? Anybody? When is it appropriate not to submit to authority? When it goes against God. So, Acts chapter 5, verse 28, it says, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." And he said, "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." And Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." That's how they gained respect, the apostles. They refused to obey the government that was telling them that they could not preach the gospel, preach about Jesus Christ. Amen. So she took a risk to save her people. Abigail did. Her strength was in her bowing. She bowed before David in 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 24. It says, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my Lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. She took a humble approach and won back the heart of David. Amen. She took it upon herself to pour kindness toward him. And after God killed her husband, David took her to be his wife. In 1 Samuel 25, 39. It says, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise be to the Lord who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. And he has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. So it's important. You can change your atmosphere by kindness. You don't have control of what others do around you, but you have control, and you can change the results and the outcomes of things by exuding kindness toward those in authority, those that are around you, anybody in your life. You have the ability to show them kindness rather than nagging and, you know, complaining and just being mean just because. It's always right to be kind. Amen. How many of us like when somebody's not kind to us? So the word tells us, if you want something, if you sow certain things, you will reap certain things. Kindness is one of those things. If you want others to be kind to you, what do you have to do? Sow kindness to others. If you want someone to be your friend, what do you have to be? Friendly. It's a law. Sowing and reaping plays in with kindness. You want, Sister Shannon? And that's a good example. You know, it's easier to be kind to someone that we're not near as much. But we can lose track sometimes because we've become familiar with people that we can be a little bit less kind to them. And the Word of God today wants to help us to be kind. Amen. Always do the right thing. Amen? Because we want the blessings of God upon our lives. We want God's mercy. We want others to be kind to us. So be kind to others, even though they are rubbing you the wrong way. Do what's right. Let's talk about ruthless men. Nabal could very well have fit under this category. But since it's plural, Jacob's sons may be a better example. Jacob's daughter, Dinah, went out for an evening with the Hivite girls. And before the evening was over, she ended up committing fornication with Shechem. And there is no indication that it was forced. You know, it was a kind of a consensual relationship. And there is every indication that two were in love and one another, and they committed fornication. It was that love was immature in their life. And Genesis 34, 3 through 4, it says, his heart was drawn to Dinah, however you say that, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father, Hamor, get me this girl as my wife. All the young men say amen. Get me. But he was in love with her. He was infatuated with her. Jacob's sons displayed the characteristics of ruthless men. They didn't like the situation. They became deceitful. And Jacob's sons agreed only on the conditions that they would allow this to happen, only on the conditions that the Hivite males be circumcised like the descendants of Abraham. Those people are bloodthirsty. What a deceitful act. However, they were deceitful in their dealings with these men. They tricked them, basically. And Genesis 34:13 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those. I'm sorry, am I in Matthew? Did I get ahead of you? I need Genesis 34:13 if you have it. If not, I have it here. It's because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's son replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. So we know that two wrongs don't make one right. If somebody deceitfully comes and does something to you, it doesn't give you a right to do it right back. You know, well, you did this, you deserve this. Do we? Is that what God does? When you come to an altar and you ask God, I've messed up. I did wrong again. I had this going on and I did this and I'm here to repent. Well, yeah, but you remember the other day? Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? He doesn't slap you across the face and say, you deserve it. Look what you did to me. But isn't that how we do others? Isn't that how we treat our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are accustomed to them. We're familiar with their relationship. We're close to them, so it's a little easier to just go off. But we'd never think of that, doing that to God. We would never talk back to God that way, because God would never do that to us. We ought to have that spirit of kindness upon us and pour it out to whoever's around us. Amen. Because ultimately, we have to answer to God. Amen. He's going to require of our lives how we've done others. Amen. So I need to allow the Holy Ghost today to help me, to stop me and make me think in my, let's start with married couples, in our lives together, how am I treating my spouse? Am I so familiar that I just am angry all the time and just treating them awful and trying to despise and find ways to get them to do things I want them to do? And so I'm deceitful and I do things that is just not kind. And how about, you know, go down the list, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and, you know, church members, worker, co-workers. How am I treating others, even though they're treating me ruthlessly? Jesus never turned to his accusers that were whipping his back and spat back in their face or cursed them for whipping them and smacking him and punching him. He never done those things. He turned to them and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." We can have a kind spirit by the help of God. It only comes from the Lord. Amen. We try to do this on our own, and we'll get in trouble in a real big hurry. If we can get ourselves full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God, He will give us the strength to love those that are ruthless to you. The ones that are deceitful and trying to do great harm to you. Now, Matthew 5, 44 through 45, it says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." God takes care of us. He has our back. Amen. He will bring due diligence to those that are against you. Amen. Pitiless. Genesis 34, 25 through 26. It says, 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. So they were pitiless. They had no mercy on this people. In cold blood, they killed the innocent, unsuspecting men, and defrauded their sister of her husband and in-laws. So these are the same men who hated Joseph and sold him into Egypt. It's kind of a history that they that they begin to form. See, when bitterness gets in your heart, it starts out little. And little things, if you don't take care of the little issues in your life that somebody's doing that just continually rubs you wrong, that seed begins to grow in you. And before you know it, you can't stand this person. And if you don't get that out, next thing you know, you will become ruthless and pitiless in how you deal with them. So we must get hold of our spirit and not allow it to overtake us and rule our lives. We must allow kindness, which comes from God, to overwhelm us and teach us and help us in every relationship in our life. Amen? Because ultimately, you're not going to answer to the person you're being unkind to. You have a creator. You have a God in your life that's going to require of how you treated others. And what you said to them and how you acted toward them. He's going to ask you one day. He's going to say, hopefully he's going to say, well done. You were good. You were a great servant. You did it well. But we have the opportunity right now to fix those things in our life if they're not where they need to be. Amen. And we can ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, give us this spirit of kindness. Give us this anointing of kindness today. I need this fixed in my life. I've not been 100% where I need to be in this area of my life. Amen. We can fix it with the help of God. So these men were pitiless and deceptive toward their father and their brother. And the next subject is ruthless men can gain only wealth. I think first thing that comes to my mind is bosses. A lot of bosses are ruthless. And all they think of is the bottom line. And they don't care about your family. They don't care about, you know, your feelings. You know, they want the bottom line. And if you're not doing the bottom line, they're heartless. Because all they're focused on is the dollar signs that are coming to them because they're performing for the higher ups. They may have gotten their own way, but they went down into history, these men, as deceptive, ruthless men. You may win the battle, but you won't win the war. You will face eternity one day. And you might have gotten your way here. You might have just and felt good about it. But one day you're going to have to answer to God. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. I hope you have a good name at the end of your life. When they put that casket out and they put all these pictures and they put out all these things about you, it's not somebody coming and spitting on your casket because of the way you were, but it's a love. It's a anointed time where people come and remember the wonderful person that you were. You were so kind to others. That's what I would want others to say about me. Man, that man was kind. That man really cared. I remember my dad, people talking about him. Man, he didn't have a whole lot, but man, he loved people. He would do anything for anybody. It's that spirit of kindness and having a love toward others. I want to have a history of being kind, a history of not being ruthless and mean-spirited. But man, I love you. I know you weren't the best to me, but oh well, I'll get over it. You know, let some things roll off your back. Get that duck mentality. Just let some things roll off your back. Don't let it sink into you. Don't let it get into your spirit and change how you are as a human being. They fail to understand God's laws and the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked, and man reaps what he sows. Always remember that. Someone's treating you wrong. Someone's treating you bad. Just remember, they're going to reap bad. They're going to reap wrong. But if I want what God has in store for me, if I can turn to that person that's doing me wrong and show them kindness and treat them with respect, just like I want to be treated, then kindness will flood over to me from others, because I have determined I will be kind. Not only because it's a law and it works in my behalf, but also because God wants us to be kind.
You're also sowing a seed of kindness in their heart.
Sure. And to most, it's a witness. Because they'll see, how in the world can you treat me like that? I'm trying my hardest to be mean to you. But you don't let it bother you. And it'll open their eyes to see, you have something that I don't. You have something. What is it about you? I've tried to do everything to you, but you won't let it bother you. Because we have something inside of us that if we'll let it get into us and into the fiber of our being, the Spirit of God can help us to be what we're talking about this morning. And we become like Him. That Spirit, allowing the Holy Ghost to help us to be kind when we're being mistreated, to be kind when someone's saying something about our family, to be kind when all is going loose. We have that ability this morning. We have the Spirit of God in us. And His Spirit, if we will surrender to it, will give us the strength that we need to be kind and loving toward others. I must hurry. A kind man puts others first. Put someone else first in your life for once. Don't always think of yourself. Put someone else first. Let their feelings be something you're concerned about for once. And allow yourself to be kind to them. Mordecai is a prime example of this. You can't find a much kinder man than Mordecai. During in Esther 2:21-23, it says, during the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway become angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. So he, even though, you know, I don't know how Mordecai, the king was toward Mordecai, but even though whatever was going on, he went and took care of business and done the right thing. He was a kind man. He was looking out for the welfare of another. And if we can get our eyes off of ourselves and find someone else to be kind to, more kindness can flow to us from the people you love most. Amen? So, this proceeds from the heart of goodness. In Matthew 7:18, it says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. That's pretty powerful scripture right there. In other words, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you ought to be kind. Because pitilessness and ruthlessness does not flow from your life. Because we're full of love. God is love. God is kindness. And if we're full of that, we don't have... Because this scripture says you can't be one or the other. If you're being ruthless, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You need to repent. You need to get on your knees and pray the Spirit back into your life. Because you're being ruthless. And this scripture's saying that it can't happen in the same vessel. It's either one or the other. There's goodness or there's not goodness. And so, if this is going on, repent. Get this right in your life so that the Holy Ghost is in control. The power of God in any relationship I'm talking. Amen? Two wrongs don't make one right. I have to be kind if I want others to be kind to me. Amen. We must let Jesus Christ rule and reign in our lives. Kind man benefits himself. When the chips are down and it appears all is lost, the Lord remembers your kind deeds and turns the tables. Mordecai, going on through life, never thinking about what he did to the king. He saved the man's life. But one night, the king, Xerxes, can't sleep. And so he calls for the books. And he wants to just go over some things in the kingdom, just to pass some time away. And he gets to where Mordecai saved his life and realizes, I did not do anything for this man. I haven't done anything for him. And so he calls for a big procession, and he asks, Haman. He asks Haman, what would you do for a great man in the kingdom? And Haman thinks of himself, oh my, I would put on the best your robes and give you... You know, just make him basically king for a day. Thinking that it was him that was going to be the one that he was getting ready to promote here. And it was Mordecai for the deeds that he had done and never thought two things about it. It was just a part of his being. Just looking out for the best interest of others. And he was exalted and lifted up. in due season. Don't ever think that what you've done is went unnoticed, because God is recording it. He's writing things down, and he's taking note of the goodness in your life. He's taking note of the things that you have done. He's got his eyes on you, and he will promote you, and he will bless you in due season. Amen. And not only that, when we do mess up, and when we make a mistake, and when we don't treat somebody like we should, we have the blood to cover that, and then he can't even see that anymore. What a great God. He's given us so many options that we can do great goodness, and he keeps track of that, and he loves that. But when we mess up, we have an opportunity to hide that from him through his blood. I can get it right. I don't have to be judged later on in life. I can get judged right now by my own forgiveness, by my own bowing of my knee and saying, I've messed up. I didn't treat this person right. And I can go back to my brother or sister. You know, the Bible says if you know when you come to worship and you know you have ought against somebody else and you've been unkind and you leave your gift at the altar and you go make it right. You have that opportunity to get that thing forgiven in your life and washed away, so that when the king gets anxious and he starts looking through some things and he's like, oh, wait a minute. I meant to do this for them. That maybe what you've been praying for your whole life, you know, and God gets anxious one day and he looks and, oh, wait a minute. I haven't blessed you yet. And he opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing upon you because of your goodness, because of your kindness. Amen. We have an awesome thing to know who Jesus Christ is, know his love for our lives. Let's stand. Amen. It pays to be kind. Amen.